Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
The transformed minister, bringing forth transformed congregation. The transformed minister, bringing about a transformed congregation. Let's look at the Roman passage, chapter 12, again closely. And I'd like to just ask you to look at that verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Whereas the passage would have been alright if we start looking at it from verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. But the thing that challenged me is that we do need to start that study from verse 3 before we return to verse 2 and conclude in verse 1. Permit me to reorder our reflection from that angle. He said, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you. The first emphasis that I want us to reflect upon this night, every man that is among you. Many times, as God's servants, we gather together. But unfortunately, as it happens to all preachers, we could be very, very preoccupied about the people, about what to preach. And sometimes when we meet like this and a message is coming, immediately we refract it to the people out there. We keep thinking, what can I use out of this message in order to preach a sermon next week or in the next program where I'm going to officiate? I believe that part of the challenge of the clergy is that we often forget ourselves because we are concerned about the people. We often think more about how to make presentation to the people rather than how to present our own selves before God. Now, if God is going to help us and we're going to bring increase onto our ministries in the midst of the people over the which God had made us overseers, it is very important that we must follow biblical order, biblical priority. This priority you see here you will see again in the gospel that we have read. And I wish that as we sit together for these 4 days of a retreat unto the Lord, may I urge you, as I exhort you in the word that Paul had sent in that chapter 12, verse 3, I say through the grace given unto me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It is not easy for men of God to sincerely, squarely focus on themselves. Many, many times, once we are robed and we are coming to the altar, something else happens to us. We sometimes forget where we are, who we are, where we personally stand in the secret place. Especially because of the glory that God has put on our lives as God's ministers. Do you know that as ministers of the word of God, you are the only ones that can speak, and nobody has a right to edit what you say. If you coughed on the altar, even by mistake, people will say amen. Because to them, God is coughing. Sometimes, whether you are prepared or you are not, people just expect there is a blessing in your mouth that you can pronounce. And you notice that everywhere you are going, people are likely just to kneel down and say, Baba, just pray for me. Just lay hands on me. Just bless me. The Lord had given us such a glorious opportunity that people don't consider who we are. They don't consider our own inside weakness. Oh, when they see us, they see God. And they are willing to submit to anything we say and whatever we do. Sometimes, even when a man is failing in his own personal consecration, the people, they still follow him. They still go all the way. If God does not help us, nobody ever expects that a man of God has any problem. Even when you are sick in yourself, they are still asking you to come and pray for the sick. Am I correct? As far as they are concerned, the man of God is always a man of God, and he has no problem at all. Do you notice that? Whereas you ask your church members regularly, how are you? How are you doing? How is the family? I hope your wife are doing fine. Have you noticed that very, very hardly will any of your church members come up to you and ask you, good morning, Baba. How is your spirit today? Did you have your quiet time this morning? How are you doing with your wife? Have you ever had anybody asking you such a question since you became ordained? Please talk to me. No. As far as they are concerned, you know what you are doing. As far as you are concerned, nobody needs to exhort you. Nobody needs to talk to you because you're already a man of God. That puts us in a very critical problem. That puts us in a very critical situation. The situation where we could get rotting under the robe. Where we can get dying right in the face of a growing activity. So the first exhortation this night which I wanted to please bear in mind as an opening charge for a retreat, is that having come this way, having come away from our members, having come away from the flock, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let us not overrate ourselves. We have now come before God. And before God, we must not forget our level. Before God, we must not think highly than we ought to think. Now, in the presence of our members, that may be okay. Because in the presence of our members, I have always found that challenge every time. Every time. Whenever we are in the midst of the congregation that we are leading, they will not allow us to be ourselves. Even when you are crying, there's something that is really disturbing you. Maybe between you and your wife, there was a problem. To such a point that, in fact, ever before you will enter the church, just before you enter the vestry, the situation is still as bad. You are still talking and she's shouting and you are also talking. But as soon as you are about to enter the vestry where you are going to robe, what do? You bring out your handkerchief, you wipe everything, and you do like this, and you dress up, and then you change your demeanor, you put up a smile, and you become gentleman of God again. And then you march in behind the cross, and you sing that song sanctimoniously, holily, and you draw your voice to make it a little more gentle than it used to be, man of God. But when we come away from the people and we are facing God, we must do like Moses. Whereas whenever Moses was facing the people, what did he do? He put a veil on his face, so that they will not see the fading glory. They will not see the korokoro or what is inside. But whenever he turns to the Lord, what does he do? He removes the veil. Emireo. Emotiri. You know, that's what we must do. We must come and take away the veil. Let's take away every covering. It might be alright, even though it is not alright, to wear a veil before the congregation to cover up what we are inside. But it may even be acceptable at that level, not when we turn to God. Not when we have come away from our congregation. Not when we are away with ourselves in the presence of God who ordained us. Please tell somebody by your side, take away the veil. Let's face God. Let's face God as we are. Let's face God just as we are. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How are we going to think in the course of these days? To think soberly. What does it mean to think soberly? You see, when a man is thinking soberly, number one, is thinking with humility of heart. To soberly think is to take a very deep consideration of the reality of who we are inside that others don't know about. Genuine transformation cannot take place unless a man will sit down and think soberly. Let's think soberly in the course of these days. Let's look inward before God and say, God, you have called me into this ministry, and I'm not planning to make a shipwreck of your call on my life. I don't want to be a disgrace
on the day of reckoning. I don't want men to wake up and discover that I am not what I thought or what they think I am. I want to be real. I want you to help me. I want you to give me that grace that will make up for my deficiency. A man who is thinking soberly is thinking realistically. What does it mean to be realistic? To be realistic is to be real. Is to be yourself. Is to be who you are. Is to allow who you are and what you are to come out without any adjustment. To think soberly. We must be real. And my Lord Bishops, I know that you did not call this retreat to sanction the clergy. Isn't it? If clergy should open up and repent, you will not use this meeting to punish them. Because if you are looking for how to do administrative sanctioning, it will not be a retreat. Am I right? If a parish priest should think soberly and should come up and cry to God, "I am a fornicator. Sir, can I crave your indulgence that you will not use that to punish him?" Now, we don't have another place where we can open up. You don't expect the priest to go and stand before the church members, "I am a fornicator, oh, please forgive me." They won't be able to do that. But if they can't do that in church, and they cannot also do that in a clergy retreat, where we can help one another, where will they be helped? Where will they find help for their lives? If we cannot be real here, where else can we be real? I've told you that it's difficult for a man of God to be real in the presence of the congregation. I have not seen a man of God, even though they fight with their wives in the bedroom, I've never seen any of them that come out on the pulpit and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, before I preach, I will not be able to talk because me and my wife, I just fought her this morning. I gave her a dirty slap. Let us pray." You know it's not possible. Yet you know that right in the bedroom, clergymen do fight. They do have challenges. They cancel others, but there's nobody to cancel them. Now I say to you, to every man among you, and the word "every man" means none of us is excluded. When we come before God, we must think soberly. We must be real. And I am begging that all our senior leaders, will you please know that this is a retreat where we have come to open up before God to help one another, such that even if the word of God reveals our lives and we cry and we came out for counseling and we open up and somebody said, "Look, I'm struggling. I impregnated a girl who is not my wife. I don't know what to do." Rather than use that to disgrace him and push him away, are we going to be gentle in order to help one another? In order to bring those that are totally in need, in order not to quench the smoking flask, rather to blow it up until it becomes a mighty flame again. Now we are here. May we open to God. I request that God will help us to think soberly, to be real. To be sober-minded is to be simple. When any man is not sober, he is not simple. He is unnecessarily making himself complicated. Let's be simple. God will relate with us as we are, isn't it? If we come to God at our level, he will come to our level. But the Bible says, he who exalts himself, the Lord will abase. The Lord will bring down all those who make themselves proud before him. As we come before God, can I request, in the words of this exhortation, let us think soberly. Let us think simply. Let us not make ourselves complicated. Let us not muddle things up. When we are in the congregation, we can use all kind of theological jargons to confuse the people. We can say something that we could have said in one word. We can decide to say it in Greek. When we want to confuse the ignorant audience, we may suddenly turn to Aramaic instead of speaking simple English. Now, but before God, is it Hebrew you would like to tell God? Is it Greek you would like to tell God that God does not know? Let's be simple. Let's tell him just as it is. Let's explain to God, this is who I am. Lord, I am not what people said. I am struggling. But I have come to this retreat for personal transformation. I have come that you might do something with me so that I also might be a useful instrument in your hand to help others. Unless you help me, I can't help people. Please, Lord, help me. Let us think soberly. I say, when a man thinks soberly, he thinks simply. No complication. No exaggeration. No big talk. Very simple. Very simple. When a man thinks soberly, what again is the characteristic of a sober mind? He thinks honestly. Honestly. May I inform you that a man that cannot be honest with himself has deceived himself. Am I right? A man that cannot call a spade with himself and say, Bilia Kane, you are struggling on this matter. Cry for God to help your life. When a man cannot be honest with himself, then he has deceived himself. People can deceive a man, that's not a problem. But when a man begins to deceive himself, he has a psychological problem. Only a man who is getting mad will tell himself, I'm a king, when he is not nothing. May I beg you, part of to think soberly is to think honestly, is to be honest before God. Now, the last line of that Bible verse says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. How has God dealt with you? That's how to think. If you have been in the ministry for 20 years, and somebody has just come into the ministry 2 years, may I say to you, whereas the man who came 2 years ago, he might make serious mistakes that is worthy of stripes. But not you who have been here for 20 years, how will you say you don't know? How will you claim that you did not understand? So even while we are going to be thinking, let us not just think as if we are at the same level. Are we together? If God has exposed you to much, he will be demanding much from you. To him much is given, much will be required. He said, the servant who does not know his Lord's will and misbehaves is worthy of stripe, he will also be given stripe. But the master, the servant that knows the will of his master, who had been with his master for so long, and he does not do what the master says, he shall be given how many stripes? Many, many, many stripes. As you think this moment, let's think according to the measure that God has measured to us. There are certain things that we can easily overlook in a man who is a novice. We say he's a novice. But when we find that thing in a man who has been a leader, an elder for many years, you will hear people say, AC Shomadeo. Baba ni omeke lo nse. So while we come before God in this meeting, we must think according to the measure in which God has dealt with us. Some of you, God has really, really blessed you. God has expanded your life. God has given you great opportunities. It is in those opportunities that God is going to call you to question. It is in those privileges that God is asking you now, sit down, tell me why you are doing this. After all this that I've done for you, after all this help that you have received from me, after all these exposures that I've given you, as we come into this meeting this night and for these days, we must be thinking according to what God has done to every one of us. And as we are praying, this is why I wish we will pray individually. Some people may require only 10-minute prayer and their issues may be resolved. Someone may need a 2-hour to kneel before God and say, Father, I have not done well. I have misbehaved. Lord, have mercy on me. Even when we'll have closed the meeting and say, let's go, somebody should be sincere and say, oh God, but my case has not finished. My case has not finished. Please deal with my life. Now, having looked at this, what are we to do? It is the appeal. I beseech you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What is the reason for this appeal? The mercy of God. Oh, God has shown me and you mercy for too long. Isn't it? God has been merciful to us over the years. In our time of need, God has come to our rescue. In our time of trouble, God has not allowed us to sink. And the Holy Spirit is saying, by the mercies of God, I beg you that you present your bodies. I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, may I pause in this short moment. When the Bible says, present your body, the word present is not possible without being present. Am I correct? Once you use the word present, you must be present. Don't be absent-minded in this meeting. Present yourself before God. Present your body. You cannot experience transformation when you are absent. When God kept saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? A man who is absent cannot experience genuine transformation. Present your body. Not only here did Paul challenge ministers to present themselves. I remember he was saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Said, do your best. To do what? To present yourself. A worker approved unto God. I would like to request, please,
be present in order to present your body before God.
Don't be absent. Don't stay here
and yet your mind is somewhere else. Let's settle before God as we begin to be together. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Permit me to omit that because that would be a very big issue for us. What's a reasonable service? A reasonable service is not first the services we officiate. Our reasonable service, which God is first looking for, is our lives presented to God, making ourselves present in God's presence, available as a living sacrifice. Even if we don't preach one sermon and God finds me in his presence holy, I've already served him. Are you with me? Even if I have no chance to conduct, you know, a service, but here am I, ever present in God's presence, holy, acceptable. God said, yes, you are serving me. Sometimes we think doing activities is what constitutes a reasonable service to God. But a reasonable service actually is me. Me, my life, presented to God as a sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And once I do that, I'm serving him. May the Lord make us men and women who serve him. And finally, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we turn to that gospel, I'm not going to spend time on it. I just want to note one priority that we must take on even as we pray tonight and as we go on with this retreat. God helping us in the name of Jesus Christ. In Luke 6, there are a few words that the Lord emphasized. He emphasized it so much. Now, please go to Luke 6 and you will see verse 41, 42. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in your own eye? Either how can you say to your brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in your eye, when thou yourself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out how? First the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. First. So as we pray in the course of this meeting, we will say so many things about ministry, about serving God, about many things. But the first thing first. Who is the first thing to be focused upon? Me, myself. Cast out first whatever it is that blocks our own lives privately, whatever thing that stops us from being the man that God wants us to be. That's the first thing to deal with. Once that happens, transformation will reach our people. Transformed minister, bringing about a transformed congregation. The first thing to happen is my own transformation before I think about the people. And may we be very, very diligent in this matter as we wait on God. With this, I would like you to please bow your heart before the Lord. And I want you to please reflect. Reflect. And as we reflect before God, I know there is a song we are going to sing later on. Give me light that I might see. Give me light that I might see. Lord, reveal myself to myself so that my life might be a blessing unto the people you have called me to serve. Let's reflect as we pray together. Every man among you, every man among you. Lord, if I have not forsaken all, in answer to thy loving call, if I have kept something far from you, Lord, give me light that I might see. Lord, help me judge myself each day to walk this new and living way. I seek thy grace with all my heart to be made pure, just as thou art. While we are reflecting, can you please take your hymn and the program, and let's reflect together on hymn number 7. Lord, give me light that I might see. Stanza 1 says, if I have not forsaken all in answer to thy loving call, if I have kept something back from you, Lord, give me light that I might see. Lord, help me judge myself each day to walk this new and living way. I seek thy grace with all my heart to be made pure, just as thou art. If anything upon this earth attracts me with a sense of worth, if money has a hold on me, Lord, give me light that I might see. If all my life revolves around me and thoughts of my own family, if I'm living selfishly, Lord, give me light that I might see. Is there some good I should have done? Is there some soul I should have won? Have I hurt someone thoughtlessly? Lord, give me light that I might see. If someone's failure has not wrought concern and care within my heart, if I've judged others inwardly, Lord, give me light that I might see. If I have cared for man's applause or sought my own and shunned the cross, if I've feared man's mockery, Lord, give me light I might see. If I have not sought your power in prayer because of earthly toys and care, if I'm not longing after you, Lord, give me light that I might see. Lord, help me choose myself each day to walk this new a living way. I seek thy grace with all my heart, just as thou art. Lord, help me judge myself each day to walk this new and living way. I seek thy grace with all my heart to be made pure, just as thou art. Our Father, as we reflect, please speak to us. Help us, Lord, to think soberly and to come before you with an open heart. Don't let these few days of meeting be a waste. Please visit us individually. Transform us that we might become transformation agents among your people. Thank you for hearing our prayer. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.